Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome to another edition of the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zocchi, along with the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski. And joining us right away, of course, is Dennis Michelson from D-Mike Media. It's a trio of knuckleheads to start the show. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, fantastic, Steve. Hey, Dennis. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing fantastic, and I'm coming to you live from Bunker Hill Dragway over near Kokomo, Indiana. So if you hear some loud noises in the background, that's what that's all about.
Oh, way to make us jealous right off the bat, Dennis.
But well, I'm here with the Diesel Motorsports guys. They're going to put on a great show. Both diesel drag racing, all kinds of trucks, and then some diesel sled pulling later on. So great time and a great group of trucks out here. So always fun when you see the Diesel Motorsports guys come near your town.
And then, of course, for those of us in southeastern Wisconsin, let's not forget Great Lakes Dragway, where they're having the out-of-sight drags yesterday and today. It's your opportunity to see the best in pre-1967 vintage dragsters. That's, of course, talking about the old gassers, the old slingshots, and just some really cool machinery out at Great Lakes Dragway. And then don't forget tonight, the 100% Nitro show starts at 9 p.m. Ooh. So looking forward to that. So lots of activity going around. Of course, we also have the midgets, Badger Midgets at Wilmot tonight. So all sorts of stuff happening. Things are starting to pick up. And we'll talk a little bit later in the show about the Indianapolis 500, some breaking news there, where they are going to have fans, but they're going to cap it at a 50% capacity. So we'll talk more about that later in the show. But let's talk about the elephant in the room, and that's the controversy at Talladega, of course, with the news. And a lot of things happening. And I guess everybody that follows racing kind of knows what's happening and the timeline that happened. And I don't want to really get into the semantics of is it a news or isn't a news, because it certainly looks like a news. But was it directed at one person or is it just a news? We all understand. We all have opinions on that. But I guess my question to Dennis to start things off is, could have NASCAR, and then Jeff, please follow up, could have NASCAR handled this a little bit better?
NASCAR could have handled it a whole lot better. I don't know if there was a possibility for them to handle it any worse, actually. If you're going to have a case study on crisis management and how not to handle a crisis, that was it. The only good thing I will say about all of this is it was really quite a touching moment to see all of the teams come together to support Bubba Wallace, having thought that something evil was done to him. The thing that really gets me on all this is NASCAR was really quick to jump to a conclusion that one of their hard card employees or a member of the track crew would do such a heinous act directed directly at the only African-American driver in NASCAR. And as it turned out, they were wrong. And you know what happens when you jump to conclusions and you assume bad things happen. And the biggest problem that NASCAR had is they should have immediately posted a picture in the garage area to keep all the conspiracy theories away. And they should have been honest that it was a garage pool, not just a rope left in the garage area. But of course, as soon as they used the word noose, the FBI then did their job and really turned it into an interesting couple of days for NASCAR. But in the end, it was good to see that not one of the hard card employees of NASCAR was guilty of doing something like that. That was the good takeaway from all of this.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dennis. You know, they did handle it pretty poorly. But, you know, thankfully it wasn't a racist act deliberately, you know, targeting Bubba Wallace and all that. So that's all positive. You know, it's just, it's kind of surprising, you know, well, it's not surprising that NASCAR handled it poorly, but they've had quite a run of doing pretty much everything lately the right way. And now they seem to be back to throwing up all over their shoes every chance they get with this situation. But, you know, it was a great moment with all the other drivers pushing his car to the end of pit road and all that. And, you know, my concern now, and I feel bad for Bubba Wallace because, you know, he's, like it or not, you know, he's the spokesperson for the black community when it comes to NASCAR, being the only black driver. But I'm worried, you know, with him being on all the CNN and all that kind of stuff. He's done himself a fantastic job because he's represented himself pretty well, even though he did double down on the whole news thing and all that. But so he's pretty much locked in sponsorship, I believe, for the rest of his career. My concern with him is that, you know, the overexposure doesn't get to him and people get tired of seeing and hearing from him. And then everybody just brushes him off as yesterday's news. So he's got a tightrope to walk when it comes to that.
I thought NASCAR.
Problem.
I was going to say NASCAR did
all this is a good.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Oh, I'm sorry. The biggest problem in all this is a very good race was lost in the weeds because nobody's talking about Ryan Blaney winning by a photo finish in what was a pretty good race at Talladega. Everybody was talking about what happened other than the racing, and that's never healthy for the organization.
No, that's very true, and I don't think they did Bubba any favors at all, because if you look at the idiots on who were jumping on him and, you know, doing all the memes and that, because that's all this social media culture is. If somebody makes a mistake or somebody has perceived to make a mistake, everybody jumps on him, and the memes are out there. Oh, he doesn't know what a noose is, this or that, you know, what's the difference between this, that, and the other thing, you know, and you know, they really left him out there hanging. You know, if they would have released that photo right away, you know, they would have saved a lot of derogatory comments against the sport itself and at Bubba, you know, whether justified or not. And it's just, you know, frustrating that they would do that to him. And, you know, I wonder if during the week, if Phelps or anybody else from NASCAR called, you know, Bubba to say, hey, you know, yeah, we kind of screwed this up. Sorry that we had to, you know, that you were, we kind of left you hanging. That's what I'm wondering about, is if that subject was ever broached with him. But yeah, it's just very, very frustrating and just a sad situation. And I guess my next question for you guys, you know, I've been seeing, you know, when they restarted the season with NASCAR leading away, really, with just them and golf and some European soccer and that, I mean, they really had an opportunity to grow the sport. And I mean, have they, anything that they have gained, have they have lost the way they've handled this PR situation in the last week?
I think it's definitely possible that they lost some of the gains that they made, but you know, I think and obviously, you know, the story of the noose is front page lead story on everywhere, and then the story of, oh, it's a garage pull and it wasn't directed at Bubba is buried in the back because it doesn't fit the current narrative and all that. So the retraction on the story you know, didn't get one-tenth of the coverage that the actual false story did. And that's damaging, and you can't say it's not. But, you know, you got guys like Al Sharpton, you know, all, you know, they got to figure out who did it, and we need to know now, or, you know, I'm not going to go away and be quiet, and you haven't heard another peep from them since. So it a lot of people were going to use this as a publicity, you know, get my face in front of the camera moment. And then when the retraction, you know, or you hear the actual real story after the FBI investigation, it's barely covered. So it's pretty typical. And but I do think that they lost some of the gains that they made.
Dennis?
And one of the problems that I saw in all this is the FBI comes out with a report that talks about the 2019 pictures that were out there in saying it was the same piece of rope, and then the picture that NASCAR publishes a few days later doesn't even appear to be the same rope. It seems to be longer. It seems to be a lot of different things that didn't match the narrative. So all they did by waiting and delaying of putting the picture out there originally was getting more of the conspiracy theories going, to the point that mm-hmm. you know, every major store is sold out of tinfoil at this point. You know, it's just incredible how poorly they handled it. And again, the most important thing, yep, they got in all the press, but they got in it for all the wrong reasons. Nobody talking about the racing. And that's what you need right now, is people talking about the great racing that they had at Talladega. But, you know, maybe this week would have been the better week to have a controversy, because you've got the Insomnia 350 today and tomorrow, so at Pocono. So, you know, it's just it's a shame that good racing got lost in the mix.
Yeah, I agree. And so much for the theory of a rain delay leads to a boring race on Monday, because that race at Talladega was exciting, man. And I'm not a huge fan of restrictor plate racing. It's just a 500-mile restart, and, you know, everybody's on top of each other the entire race. And, you know, I'm not – obviously, you got to stay in the draft and all that. And there's, you know, obviously some skill involved in it, but it's not – to me, it's not true racing. And, you know, that was an exciting race. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, it certainly was. And are we done with the news story now? Are we going to talk some racing in
yes.
the next segment?
Yes,
please.
Very good,
yes.
sir. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about I want to talk about the exciting Geico 500 that they did have at Talladega on Monday. We'll talk about that and more. Lots of stuff coming up in the Final Inspection Show. We got Bert Levy coming up. We're going to talk about, yes, he was a stunt driver during the Blues Brothers movies. Interesting stuff there. I'm going to chat with him, along with Badger Midget defending champion Chase McDermott, and Guy Hobbs will also be reporting in from downtown Elkhart Lake. We'll find out what's going up there. That and more coming up on the Final Inspection Show.
Final inspection. Now, Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zocchi along with the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, and it is Dennis Michelson joining us. And I tell you what, as Jeff mentioned before, yeah, kind of lost and everything over the week was that exciting race Monday at Talladega, and Ryan Blaney winning. And, you know, when was the last time we had a car going backwards finishing third, guys? Have you ever recall seeing that?
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Eric Amarola had the butt end of his car across the line, and great finish for him, even though, he was watching it through the rear view mirror when he crossed the start-finish line there. But, that was exciting stuff. I was sitting there screaming at my TV when they started wrecking. I thought that they were going to throw the caution right away and Kevin Harvick was going to win, and he goes from first place and ends up with a 10th place finish in less than a mile. So that was pretty exciting stuff.
Dennis?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I think the biggest thing that created that mayhem that we had of great racing throughout the whole event was the fact that the rain shower and thunderstorm activity looked like it was going to get to the track a lot earlier. So everybody was thinking that they were racing to the halfway point, not to a full race. The storm sort of faded out and died before they got them, totally there at the end. And lo and behold, you end up having a race that was pretty sensational and pretty exciting. I was thoroughly entertained by it. And, it's been a while since I've been thoroughly entertained by a NASCAR race. I was very concerned after Daytona was so good, but they were going to tweak the rules because of the Ryan Newman crash, that they were going to lead to a follow the leader type of plate track experience again. But they didn't tweak it so much that these guys could not make a pass. And if you got a little bit of help, all you needed was a good bump draft from your friend behind you, you could get a nice little run going. So the combination of the weather making these guys have to always be racing for position was certainly a contributing factor to a good race.
Is it just me? I want to get Jeff and then Dennis's reaction. I mean, was it just me, or did we see a little bit more of a kind of give and take and not so much stupid blocking? I mean, they weren't driving like knuckleheads out there. It seems like there was a little more give and take, a little more cooperation. Obviously, all bets were off in the last lap, but was that just me, or do you guys think that we actually saw a little bit of give and take finally?
I halfway agree with you. I'm not sure that it was a lot of give and take. I don't think there was a lot of when somebody got out of the draft, I think there was less stupid moves trying to force their way back into line. And so I think that for the most part, if you were in the top line or the bottom line, you know, those guys were pretty aggressive to make sure that that they stayed where they were and they were pushing and everything like that. But I think if you got shuffled out of line, they were a little bit more patient trying to get back in than they were, you know, possibly using the chrome horn to force their way back into one of the dominant lines on the track.
Dennis?
Yeah, I think what you end up seeing is a lot of these manufacturer alliances. So guys were not willing to block their manufacturer alliance teammate, for lack of a better way to describe it. So you had a situation where, you know, guys, if they did get shuffled out a little bit, they didn't try to slam the blocks on because they knew it was also hurt their other teammates. But it was a great job by all the manufacturers of sort of teaming up together. It made for a very interesting strategy for the race.
You know, for a team that struggled so much in the early to mid-1990s, Team Penske, this was their, ninth victory at Talladega, the third most all-time amongst all teams. And, you know, you look back, Dennis, in the early 90s, mid-90s, Rusty Wallace always had some issues. And that was always the same Team Penske's Achilles heel was the restrictor plate racing. They were so strong everywhere else, but they just, those four races always seems to hurt them in the point standings. Is it just a matter of time before they finally got everything together, or what's your opinion on that, Dennis?
Well, I think that was a time of, that was an era where RCR just dominated. Everybody's talking about restrictor plate racing. Oh, it's just a flip of the coin. It's a roll of the, you know, a spin of the roulette wheel. Well, Earnhardt won 10 times at Talladega. You don't win 10 times just by being fluky 10 times in a row. Back when you could massage on the cars and gain an advantage with, you know, just hard work and outthinking the rule book, teams could get an advantage. And that was never, you know, the place where Penske was good. They were good at power. You know, they were always good at finding the horsepower and finding the handling. And those kinds of tracks, you know, the handling and the power, you know, the power's kind of equalized at a plate track, and the handling doesn't matter quite as much as the aerodynamics of getting through, just that getting that little extra push through the air. And I think that was the biggest difference back then, is RCR was just the dominant team during the time when Rusty Wallace was, you know, could have won a couple of championships for Penske easily.
Jeff, are we more surprised by John Hunter Nemechek getting another top 10 finish, or that Tyler Reddick is actually, as of right now, in the playoff chase?
Both. I think they're both surprising. You know, John Hunter Nemechek, you know, a top 10 finish at Talladega, you know, take it or leave it, you know, at one of the tracks where, you know, younger drivers, lower funded teams can compete and show up and get a good finish. So a top 10 at Talladega doesn't mean the same as a top 10 at Richmond or Phoenix or California, in my opinion. But, you know, it's definitely surprising. And, it, you know, Tyler Reddick has been very, very impressive. And on the flip side of that coin, Christopher Bell, where's he been? And, you know, you want to talk about somebody with a whole lot of talent, a whole lot of, you know, he's on a good team, and he has not produced at all.
Yeah, that is a good question, Dennis. Is that a situation where we might see a crew chief change coming up, or some is Joe Gibbs going to take a closer look, maybe give him some help? What's going on with that 95 car?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I think it's more driver than car at this point. I just think it's some mistakes that have been made. But, you know, it's hard to see. I mean, he's been competitive, but he just hasn't gotten the good finishes a lot of times, versus Tyler Reddick, where he's gotten great finishes and been competitive at every track except for the short track. So just very interesting to see how this rookie battle is coming along. I think a lot of people were handing it to Christopher Bell because of the Gibbs equipment connection, and we're seeing that Tyler Reddick is a pretty darn good race car driver. I don't think there's any question that he's not in a better car than Christopher Bell right now.
Jeff, what do you think? Any opinions on that, on Christopher Bell?
You know, it could be confidence. I do think that if he doesn't perform, you know, we're halfway through the regular season right now. As far as, you know, we're what, 13 out of the 26 races have been completed. So I think if he doesn't have good finishes, you know, or really impress in the next five races, I think he's definitely going to get a new crew chief. They've got to shake something up, because there was so much promise, so much money has gone into that team. And right now, you know, there's moments here and there, like Dennis said, where he's competitive. But when you're sitting there finishing in mid-30s, you know, or high 20s every single race, that's not good enough.
Yeah, and then if you look at Talladega, once again, Stenhouse, I mean, guy's amazing at Daytona and Talladega. Once again, I mean, if the whole season was at those two races, he'd be a championship contender. And then the car he was fired from, the 17 car, Chris Buescher, you know, sixth place finish. Both those cars were up all race, though, in that lead pack, it seemed like. Just business as usual for those two, wasn't it, Dennis?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, we're starting to see some patterns develop. Even as weird as this season has been, we're still seeing some patterns that are more typical. You know, by the time you get to the middle part of the season, you start to see and understand just, you know, who's who in the sport on any given year, and, you know, who might be having a few problems. And even in this chaotic year where we had the huge long break, we're still at that point of the season where you know which teams are strong and which teams are in trouble.
Yeah, I think if you would have asked the majority of NASCAR fans, you know, 2 months ago, who's going to have the better season, Stenhouse or Buescher, you know, when basically they just switched cars, I think most people would have said Stenhouse. And Buescher is definitely holding his own, where I think that if there's, you know, obviously this is going to be a big off season with a high name, big name free agents, and there's, you know, more rumors about Kyle Larson coming back to Stewart Haas, or, you know, going to Stewart Haas next season. But you know, I think that Buescher has only helped his stock here, where if I had a choice and I was a mid funded team or a lower funded team and I had a choice between Crash Stenhouse, you know, you're competitive four races a year, and then, you know, after that you're doing a whole lot of body repair. Or Chris Buescher, right now, I definitely go with Buescher.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's the reason why Roush went with them, because the current environment, Dennis, in NASCAR, I mean, sponsorship is tight, and we've seen, you know, those of us who kind of know what's going on in World NASCAR, we kind of know which cars have that may have some lettering on the car, but they're not, might not be getting paid for it. And we've certainly seen that on the 17 and some of the other Roush Fenway cars. And if you want a driver that's going to bring the car back so it can roll on the trailer, don't we?
Yeah, that's the big key, and especially when you're having doubleheader weekends and you're racing midweek as well as Sundays, you can't afford to have as many problems with the car, because if you do, you're certainly going to be in a world of hurt getting ready for the next race.
Well, Dennis, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show, and looking forward to chatting with you again. Of course, we got the 4th of July weekend coming up next week, so we're having a little bit of a different show next week. We'll announce that later here in the show, but looking forward to chatting with you again, and I don't know when we're going to see each other, but hopefully this summer we'll be at a racetrack soon, won't we?
Hopefully down at the Indy 500, if and when it's ever held. Man, I'll tell you, it's doing something for my soul to be out here at Bunker Hill Track Strip today, getting a little fresh air, getting little diesel fumes in me, corn-fed diesel, Edelbrock, all the great sponsors of Diesel Motorsports in the house. And, of course, next time we talk, maybe I'll be reporting about the World Championship of Cornhole that's taking place in Danville, Illinois on the 4th of July. So always good chatting with you boys.
All right, Dennis, certainly appreciate it. Jeff and I are going to come back, and we're going to preview the twin race is coming up this weekend at Pocono on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. We'll be back after this. Inspection Show, Steve Zocchi, along with the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Berlosky. And we got Pocono this weekend. We got two races now. The truck race that was supposed to run at 11:30 our time has been postponed. They had some rain in the area, and they might have been able to run it, obviously. But the issue, Jeff, this weekend, of course, it's a doubleheader. So they're running a race today, a cup race today, at 2:30 our time. So obviously, they weren't able to run the truck race because of the issue with TV and whatnot. So they're going to run that thing tomorrow morning, I think at 9:30 our time. So we got a race today and a race tomorrow. And, of course, we got the Pocono Organics 325. Now, is this organics? Are they talking about the ones you smoke, or what's going on here? What is this?
Well, I'm not sure. I would doubt it, considering, there was a CBD company that wanted to advertise on the side of the NASCAR, and they were denied. So I don't think they're getting into that business, even though, they definitely should. We talked about them missing big tobacco money a week or two ago, and I think that's definitely going to be the next big up-and-coming business adventure, would be to get in on the ground floor of having some of those companies sponsor your cars. But I don't think they're talking about the smoking kind, Steve.
No, they're not. Okay, I looked it up here.
Probably kale and hippie lettuce, I think.
Rodale Institute leads the way in organic agriculture research. Located in Berks County, Pennsylvania, the Rodale Institute has been provided training and studies for all sorts of vigorous solutions-based research, farmer training, and consumer education. So it's it's organic fruits and vegetables or whatnot. So
Okay, well, I hope there's not a quiz on that later because I forgot what you said already. And, you know, is it going to make me buy organic hippie fruit? No. No, it's not. But I'm glad that they decided to advertise with racing. And obviously, sponsorship is a good thing, both for the series and for the drivers themselves. So we welcome the organic people.
Well, Susan brought home some organic marinated chicken the other day, and we put that stuff on the grill, and that was very, very good. It was more of a opportunity to stop in there type situation. It was very good. So,
how the hell do you grow organic chicken?
I think it's just chicken without steroids. I think it's basically
okay.
What that
All
is.
Right. Well, I don't know. I'm sure if you put a Barry Bonds chicken or a chicken without steroids next to each other, I don't know if I'd be able to taste the difference, but I'll take your word on it, and I'm glad you had a good meal there, sir.
Are we going to see two different races here with the new distance in that? I mean, could we see an all-out race and then maybe one that's going to be a gas mileage race? I'm kind of curious here. Look into your crystal ball here. What kind of race are we going to see this weekend between the two?
Well, I think you're right. I think, and I don't know which is going to be which, but I think if today's race is a thriller and it's exciting and you're, you know, hanging onto the edge of your seat like Monday's race at Talladega was, I think tomorrow's race is going to be a total snooze fest in a typical Pocono. But, I'm rooting for two phenomenal races, but, and if I had to guess, I would think today would be the more boring of the two, considering you don't want to ruin your equipment today when you got to race the same track tomorrow. And, for the younger guys and even some of the veterans, you know, they're still trying to, they're still learning the tracks, and, you know, they call it the tricky triangle for a reason. And, if I had to guess, I would think today would be the boring race and tomorrow would be more exciting, but we shall see.
Interesting. Okay, so for the lineup today, we have on the front row, interesting, two guys that did very well, obviously, last week, and that's Eric Amarola is going to be on the pole with Ryan Blaney outside of the front row. Then we have Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch, surprisingly, who has not had a win this year. And then row three, Chase Elliott, Joey Logano. Row four, we have Kurt Busch and Brad Keselowski. And row five, two guys have been pretty quick, all have been very steady all year, and that's Kevin Harvick and Alex Bowman. And then, of course, row six, then we have Truex and Jimmy Johnson, and then Newman, Stenhouse, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, the aforementioned Tyler Reddick. So any of those guys kind of stick out this weekend?
Yeah, you know Kyle Busch is going to break through, I would say, sooner rather than later. The fact that he doesn't have a win yet, you know, every time you want to sit there and it just starts creeping into your mind, huh, is Kyle Busch in a slump and he'll, you know, rattle off three out of six race, you know, wins. So I definitely expect him to run well both days. You know, Kevin Harvick obviously has been consistent all season. Eric Amarola, yeah, I have no idea what to expect with him. I am shocked that he's having a better season than Clint Bowyer, and all the pressure is on both of those guys. They both signed one-year deals with Stuart Haas, and so they're both free agents at the end of the season. And right now, Eric Amarola, to me, is outperforming Clint Bowyer by a long shot. And, you know, I like Clint. I rooted for him when he was in the Busch series. And I really want to like him in the Cup series. But, you know, you want to talk about a guy that just can't finish. And it's surprising. But, you know, I would think those guys. And I think one of my picks to win one of the races is also Eric Jones, who's going to have to come from farther back. But I think Eric Jones is going to have a win either today or tomorrow.
Yeah, he's an interesting story. He's been running much better recently, and we said that at the start of the season the pressure was going to be on him because of Christopher Bell in the 95. And you wonder now with Christopher Bell kind of struggling right now, does Erik Jones kind of maybe even do better now because maybe a little bit of the pressure's off, and so now he can. Maybe take a couple chances knowing that maybe, because where he sits in the points, he can go and go after some wins now? Or what do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it frees him up to, he still has to produce. He still needs to take care of his equipment, make sure he's there for a good finish every single week to hold off Christopher Bell. But I think he's definitely taking some good satisfaction in the fact that Christopher Bell is struggling the way that he is to finish these races and to get good finishes. With the no qualifying, this season, it's so important to be in that top 12, because when you can lock yourself in a top 12 starting position at every single track, it's just what a load off. And you got guys like Erik Jones who haven't cracked that yet, that, as soon as you get there, you better hold on to one of those top 12 spots, as tight as you can, because, when it's the difference between starting 1 through 12 or starting 13 through 25, that's one hell of a difference.
Is. Oh, and we want to give get well wishes to friend of the show, Natalie Decker, who missed the Truck Series race that was postponed anyways today because having some intestinal issues. She was hospitalized with that, so we wish the best to Natalie and hope she's back on a racetrack very soon. For those wondering,
That's some serious stuff that she's got, Steve.
Yeah.
She had her gallbladder removed, and now she's having problems with her bile duct, and I'll tell you, and I've told you before, when I had my gallbladder removed, and obviously Natalie Decker has a lot more money and a lot better doctors than I do, but that's when my health really started going downhill, and I sat there, I had it removed, I had some bile duct issues as well, and now I'm on the transplant list, and I'll tell you, it is serious stuff, and I hope she takes it seriously. I think it's great that, she's got such a fantastic support system with both her mother and her father, who are just amazing people in and of themselves. And I think that, she really needs to get this thing taken care of, or it's going to be a whole lot more problems down the road for her.
It certainly can, yes. Interesting stuff. Thank you, Jeff. And then a couple of Wisconsin drivers in the Pocono race, the first Pocono race. We got Matt Kenseth in the 42 Chip Ganassi car starting 22nd. And then Josh Balicki will be starting shotgun on the field. An interesting driver. The 77 car is James Davison. And James Davison is an Australian driver. And interesting fellow, very talented driver, very quick driver. And he has literally driven everything. He's been in IMSA. He's driven in the last couple of Indy 500s. He even raced a USAC Silver Crown. I think it was on the High Banks. Was it Winchester or another race, Toledo? I forget where. But he was in a Silver Crown race or a couple of them last year. And now here he is running a cup car at Pocono. So good luck to James Davison in that 77 car. So it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do. Any final thoughts on Pocono this weekend, Jeff?
Well, like I said, I hope that they're both exciting races. I have a feeling one will be boring and one will be great. But, Pocono has surprised the last few years with having exciting races, because, man, I used to dread when the Pocono races were on, because they used to be both 500 miles. I think having one 350 and one 3.25 is definitely going to help the action, help the sense of urgency. And I do enjoy the fact that it's a doubleheader and that we get to knock Pocono off the schedule in one weekend. So buckle up, get the popcorn ready, and I'm ready for some good racing. Like I said, give me Erik Jones in one of them. Give me Kyle Busch in the other. I don't know which is which, but those are my two guys to win at Pocono this week.
Interesting stuff. And then the ARCA race yesterday, too. A little bit of a snooze, but Wisconsin driver Sam Mayer looked very, very good, finishing third. And, of course, Ty Gibbs, runaway winner in that 18 car. I mean, that car is just so far above everything else in that truck. I think, Jeff, you could have won that race in the 18 car yesterday at Pocono. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, Sam Mayer looked like it had 100 good. More horsepower than everybody yeah. else.
And Sam Mayer, congrats to him. I mean, he's looked very, very good. But I think this is, I mean, yesterday, I think he looked probably the best I've seen him run in a race that he didn't win. And I think he showed a lot of maturity yesterday, and he looked strong, and he kind of let the race come to him. And, of course, obviously, I don't care what car, I don't think anybody was going to be able to catch that that Gibbs 18 car in an ARCA race, especially at Pocono. But I thought that 21 car Sam Mayer looked very, very, very good. And I'm sure his father is very proud of him and, of course, look for good things to him. And we hope to have him on the show coming up before the year is out. So, Jeff, we certainly appreciate you being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure.
And I look forward to chatting with you again. And then for those wondering, we are going to have a little bit of a different show. We will be on the air, the 4th of July weekend, and we'll be chatting. And I might be reporting live from Indianapolis on the next week, Saturday. We'll have to see. Of course, it's a closed race. So as of right now, I am not going to the race. But negotiations have been made, and I might be able to peer over the fence or something. We'll see what happens.
You
got to
get one of those Willy Wonka golden tickets to get in, huh?
pretty tough. So it'll be interesting to see. Looking forward to getting down and more or less just see a lot of my friends and do a little golfing down in Indianapolis the next week, and looking forward to that. So, Jeff, we certainly appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Chase McDermott, defending Badger Midget Racing Champion. Talking to him coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, Steve Zottke. Sorry about that. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is defending Badger Midget Champion, Chase McDermott. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Chase. Good. You know, I've always wondered, you know, I was just saying to my wife a couple months ago, you know, that's one thing I haven't had. I haven't had a real, like, tickle in my throat while I've been on the radio. Well, just so happened, I had it when you came on the line. So, but Chase McDermott from
everything.
This is true, from Springfield, Illinois. And, of course, Springfield, Illinois, known for drivers like Donnie Beachler and I think Chuck Wyatt was from there. And have you been involved with racing all your life?
Pretty much all my life. You know, from when I was little, I've always been around, you know, things mechanical. But my dad raced stock cars for a little bit. And then when I was 11 years old, I started in quarter midgets and then have worked my way up, you know, to where I am now. I'm 19, so... almost half my life I've been racing myself, but I've always been around it.
And this is, of course, it's got to be tough for a young driver like you, you know, with this season, with everything that's going on, and you must be just chomping at the bit to get ready to go racing later today at Wilmot, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, off seasons are always long and they go by slow, but, you know, this one's been different, obviously. We know we've been sitting at home a lot, but I've been using iRacing as a valuable tool to try to keep my senses sharp. But other than that, I mean, I've just been waiting so long, but I'm glad to finally, you know, be able to get back in action tonight.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be different, too. I just saw a thing from Badger Midget about how they want you to social distance. They don't want you to just walk. You know, in the past, you could, if you had an issue with an official or something, you could just walk into the, you know, the Badger Midget trailer and talk to the officials there. Now they want you to wait outside and just, have you talked amongst the team in that, how you guys are going to do that, and with visitors coming, you know, because it's the first race of the year, you know, that's all is the most, that's the one that everybody wants. Hey, I haven't seen you all year. Everybody's saying hi. I mean, how have you guys talked about that? How you guys are going to go about that in the pit area today?
No, we haven't talked about that, but that's a good point. I mean, you know, we've always, you know, gotten people that have stopped by the pits, you know, have talked to us, you know, just about racing and stuff like that. So it's definitely going to be different. But I think that, you know, we all have the, you know, the same feeling that, you know, we're just glad to be back racing. However, you know, we have to do it. I mean, you know, it's just how it's got to be. But we're all just glad to be back. You know, things are going to be a little different for sure. But it's just going to be good to be back at the track with all of the fans and, you know, the fellow drivers and the officials. So, you know, yeah, it's going to be different, but we're all ready for it.
And then talk about RMS Racing and some of the people that helped you along and some of the sponsors. Go ahead and plug them. How did the team come along, you know, come together, and how did you get hired as a driver?
Well, it all started last year. The last National Midget Week over in Indiana is when we actually met Dave and the guys at RMS Racing. You know, but we've just kept in touch. And then they built a Badger car and had Team Ez come and drive for them, and Clinton Boyles. And, you know, so it was cool to have them race with us. You know, and at that time, I didn't think that I would, you know, be their next driver. But, you know, it's just something that kind of fell into place, you know, when Team Ez and Clinton were busy. You know, then I kind of stepped in to drive their car the last two races, and we ended up winning those two last year, and so I think that kind of solidified this year's deal. But you know, as far as people we have to thank, you know, I got to thank Dave and Matt Ustep. They're the two main guys at RMS Racing. Envirofab is another one of their main sponsors, and then my sponsors as well: Burns Automotive, Walby's Place, Shainer's Towing, Lika Tree Service, and, you know, just everybody that is on our car, you know, Mobile One, Valco Wheels, McDermott Plumbing, of course, that's important. But everybody that helps us and them, you know, together is what keeps us going.
And I see a photo, and I noticed her in the victory photo from Angel Park last year. Your number one fan, of course, is Belle, your dog. Tell us about her.
Oh yeah, she's very popular among the races that we go to. Everybody stops by and has to pet the dog. She's become probably the biggest part of our pit crew. Standing here right next to me right now in the motorhome as we're going to the track. So everybody's going to be excited to see her. The last time they saw her, she was still a little puppy. So she's grown a lot for sure.
Excellent. Talking to Chase McDermott, defending Badger Midget champion. And what are your plans for this year? Are we just running the Badger Midget season, or is there any other plans you have?
Nothing set in stone as far as, you know, any other opportunities, but for sure, all the Badger races that, you know, that are scheduled, we're going to be at all of those. I'm hoping to race some Indy National Regional Series, which is another series that's based in Indiana with RMS. So hopefully that comes along. You know, I'm still not sure about what that series is going to do.
Time out of your busy schedule today, and wish you best of luck down at Wilmot tonight for the Badger Midgets.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, that was Chase McDermott on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give it the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Coming up next, we're going to talk with author Bert Levy, coming up next on The Final Inspection Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.